All right, as we continue to look at Philippians chapter 4, on last week we kind of looked at verse 7, some other verses, but particularly verse 7, Paul had talked about the peace that passeth all understanding. And this peace that he talks about, he said that it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse number 8 and verse 9, what Paul does is that Paul commanded the Christians in Philippi to lift the level of their thinking. Because in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And then tonight, as we look at verse number 9, we notice what if Paul ends, he ends this section with another promise of peace. He wrote, "And the God of peace shall be with you." And I believe tonight that we want the God of peace to be with us. And I hope that we do. And so as we look at verse 9, when you look at this entire verse, what we notice is that Paul was again challenging them to follow his good example. Look at verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So notice, Paul wrote, you know, whatever you have learned, whatever you received or heard from me or seen in me, basically you put into practice. You do it. So we need to, and so what we need to do is that we need to think the right things, but also we need to practice the right things. And when we think the right things, when we do the right things, then we know the God of peace is with us. And then he, in verse number 10 through verse number 13, he begins to say, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased," in other words, to be brought low. "I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which gives or strengthens me." Now, what we have here is Paul's life and his ministry. It bear out the very thing that he wanted the Philippians to learn. And Paul pointed to his own experience and the things that he learned from experience. And what Paul had discovered is this, is that contentment is something that has to be learned. Contentment is something that has to be learned. It is not something that comes naturally. It is not something that comes automatically. It has to be learned. And so Paul had learned where true contentment is found. Contentment comes from trusting in the spiritual resources of God. rather than focusing on the physical circumstances of life. Now, let me say that again. Contentment comes from trusting in the spiritual resources of God, rather than focusing on the physical circumstances of life. So what that means is that regardless of the physical circumstances we face, we have the power of God and the promises of God, and they give us great contentment, joy, and peace. And so as we focus more on the spiritual and lessen our desire for the physical, then we will become more content with what we have, and we will have more to share and to give, which will lead to even more contentment, more satisfaction, more joy for the journey. But here's the problem. The problem that most of us have is that we keep looking for contentment in the wrong places. We keep looking for contentment in the wrong places. Because, see, the devil and the world teach us that contentment comes from the people you know. In other words, if we could just hang out with the right people and could just be welcomed into the right social circles, then we would be content. But then also, we are led to believe that contentment comes from the position you hold. If we could just have the right job, hold a high position, then we would be content. But the biggest lie of all is contentment comes from the possessions that you have. If we just had enough money, got to drive the nice cars, live in the expensive houses, then we would be content. But Paul had learned something far different from that. He had learned to be content regardless of who he was and who he was with, what position he held, and what possessions he had. And so Paul reported that there were times in his life and in his ministry when he had more than enough. But then there were other times when he was in need and went hungry. But regardless of his circumstances, whether good or bad, he learned, again, he learned that he could do all things through Christ, who gave him the strength. And that was his secret to contentment, that he could do all things through Christ that gave him the strength. And so what Paul had discovered then is that Paul had discovered that there was not a single situation he was called to face where Jesus was not with him and where Jesus was not enough. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there is not a single situation that you and I are called to face where Jesus is not with us and where Jesus is not enough. And so if Jesus was with him always, the Lord will be with us, because he says, I never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so the Lord gave him the strength that he needed. And the Lord would give you and I the strength that we need to face whatever we are facing today. And so that's why Paul wrote, when you go back to verse 7, Paul wrote about the peace that passeth understanding, because he had experienced it. Listen to me. People of faith, when you trust God, when you know who God is, when you know what God can do, you can sing through tears and pain and struggle, because you know who is with you. You know who is walking with you, who gives you the strength to do everything that needs to be done. And what we have to be careful is that the devil wants us to believe two lies. Number one, what the devil wants us to believe is that he wants us to believe that things make a person happy. But the second thing he wants you to believe, he wants us to believe that all we need is found within ourselves. And both of these things are false. And Paul had discovered the real source of contentment. Paul had discovered that he was not self-sufficient, but that he could be Christ-sufficient. Let me say that again. Paul discovered that he was not self-sufficient, but that he could be Christ-sufficient. Because Paul learned that no matter what might be ahead, Jesus Christ was sufficient to carry him through it. And I believe tonight that's the attitude that we all need to have, is that no matter what might be ahead, Jesus Christ is sufficient to carry us through it. Because the powers that can be can take everything away from a person, but they cannot take away a person's faith in the unfailing power of Almighty God. So trusting in the unfailing power of God, it brings contentment. And so what Paul does is that he continues. Let's look at verse 14 through verse 20. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in speaking about his ability to be content, Paul did not want to give the impression that the Philippians had somehow done something wrong in supporting Paul. But there was a real sense in which the giving of the Philippians was better for them than it was for Paul. Godly giving actually does more good for the giver than for the one who receives. Let me say it again. Godly giving actually does more good for the giver than for the one who receives. And so when you look at verse 15, he says again in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and what this refers to is that this refers to Paul's missionary efforts in Europe in Acts chapter 16. You go back and read Acts chapter 16 and the following chapters. And they not only maintained him comfortably while he was with them, but notice, but when he departed from Macedonia, they sent tokens of their kindness after him. And this is when no other church did so. Because he said that in verse 15, he says, when I departed Macedonia, no church communicated or partnered with me. And then in verse 16, for even the Thessalonica, they supported him. They supported him when he's in Thessalonica. And so, but then when verse 17, Paul wasn't so much interested in the gift in his own behalf, but in the fruit that abounds, he says, to your account. In other words, their giving increased the fruit in their account before God. One thing that leads to contentment is knowing that we are bringing glory to God. Knowing that we are bringing glory to God. See, the more content we are with what we have, the more money that can be freed up to give, which brings glory to God. Now look at verse 18. In verse 18 again, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In other words, he said, I received full payment and even more. You know, I got supplies. I received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offerings, sweet smelling, smelling offerings and acceptable sacrifices, pleasing to God. So what is Paul doing here? Paul expressed his appreciation to the Philippian church for their financial gifts, which Paul believed were really gifts from God and to God. Well, what we have to notice then is, let's notice some important truths then about giving. First of all, giving affects the receiver. Giving affects the receiver. Paul needed the gifts from the Philippians, and he greatly appreciated the gifts. I have been a receiver of gifts, and I'm sure that you have all been receivers of gifts. It's a wonderful thing to receive a gift, especially when it is a greatly needed gift. So giving affects the receiver, but also giving affects the giver. It affects the receiver, and it affects the giver. In addition to being on the receiving end of things, I have also been on the giving end, and I know you have too. And it's a joy to give to others and to watch them be blessed by the gift. And so both Jesus and Paul talked about storing up treasures in heaven by our giving on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 19. So when we give, our account is somehow credited by God. Oh, let me say that again. When we give, our account is somehow credited by God. The third thing is that giving affects the Lord. Now notice, giving affects the receiver, giving affects the giver, and giving affects the Lord. So Paul noted that the Philippians' gift was, and notice what he says. He says, a sweet smell, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When we give, and even when we give our contributions to our congregations, we are not primarily giving it to the church, but we are giving an offering of worship to the Lord. We are telling the Lord how thankful we are, what God has done for us. And we're showing him by our appreciation of what he has done. And we are offering, and our offerings are pleasing aroma to God when it comes from the heart. And that's why he talks about how we need to give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so giving can bring one of the most rewarding things that we can do. But if we are spending all our money trying to bring satisfaction to ourselves because we are so discontent, then we will have nothing left to give. Our giving is a pleasing aroma to God. Our giving brings him glory, and it brings him pleasure. But I like what Paul does. Paul declares a promise to the Philippians regarding their own financial needs. Notice what he says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. my God shall supply all you need. It's all you need. And so the promise is both broad and yet restricted. What do you mean restricted? He says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me help you. You remember the miracles. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, you remember the story where Elijah told the widow to gather empty vessels, set them out, pour forth the oil, and from one small vessel of oil she had into the empty vessel, she filled and she filled and miraculously filled until every empty vessel was full. All our needs is like the empty vessel. But listen, if you don't bring it to God, he's the one who can fill the empty vessel. When you're trying to do it all on your own, yeah, my God shall supply all of your needs. But a lot of times we think we can do it on our own. And so we restrict God from being able to bless us with what he needs to bless us with. And so when you look at this empty vessel, all I need is like the empty vessels. God is the one who fills the empty vessels according to the riches in glory, which describes the style in which God fills the empty vessels. The oil keeps flowing until every available vessel is filled. Well, watch this. He says, my God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which describes the how God meets our needs, our empty vessels are filled by Jesus in all of his glory. I'm so glad tonight that when my vessel is empty, I know a man that can fill it. God can fill our empty vessels according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. And so I hope that this right here has really been a help to you to realize that where you can find peace and realize what God can truly do in your life. And Lord's willing, on next week, you finish reading that, but I want you to start reading the book of Galatians. We're going to be looking at Galatians. After we finish Philippians, we're going to go back and look at the book of Galatians. So begin to start reading the book of Galatians, and we're going to be talking about that after we finish up with the few verses that remain in Philippians chapter 4. So at this time, I'm going to just first of all unmute Brother Gilbert Baldwin and let him make his announcements, and then I'll unmute everybody else. Well, go ahead, Brother Baldwin.
Service for Brother Jerry Cross